key of the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. I'd like to welcome you to this program today. We're all about empowering people. For all the years I've been on, starting in October of 1967, photographs of that first show with Peter Boyle, who was a close friend of mine. We shared a floor together down at 310 West 79th Street before he became famous with his first little movie called Joe. But from then on, it was No Stopping Him and Julie Newmar and then Brock Peters. From there to here, every single show is about empowering. And today we're going to empower you even further to understand how to slow down and even possibly reverse the aging process. Our first article, always from respected institutions, this is Temple University, published in Peer Review Literature, and this shows about how extra virgin olive oil staves off multiple forms of dementia in this laboratory experiment. This was published in the Peer Review Journal Aging Cell. Then we're going to have a unique original investigative report, continuing with our series of challenging the bias of Wikipedia and its skeptic editors and its co-founder, Jimmy Wales. Today's titled Wikipedia Astroturfing to Discredit Energy Medicine and Psychology. Also, I will read the letter that our in-house attorney sent to Wikipedia's attorneys. Well, Wikipedia's giving us some warnings. Don't send any more of your articles or letters showing anything to our board of directors or fiduciaries. Just send them to him. Good. So we're already sending 67 articles, 13 letters. So if he is confident that we can't sue them or a class action lawsuit is not possible, well, then let us see what he makes of today and upcoming programs. We have another 100 articles we'll be writing about Wikipedia, by the way. All of them are scholarly. All of them have been vetted legally and for accuracy. Also today, we're going to take a look at why everything will collapse. This is one of those very sobering dialogues that we need to hear, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable. I've been doing a lot of lectures, in fact, 50 as of yesterday afternoon. It was 57 lectures. These are in-depth lectures, by the way. Some go as long as in the evening, 3 hours. To the people who are in the anti-aging group, which last day is tomorrow, and they're out doing their power walk today. They did their blood chemistry yesterday. They did all their physical work, all monitored by our nursing staff yesterday. It took almost 10 hours. To do that, we're going to hear from two of the people today. We've taken them off the course that they're doing their workout on, so it'll be short interviews. However, on Thanksgiving, the full show will be from the participants in this anti-aging experiment, and the results we'll know shortly. When I have the results, I'll share them with you. I know some of the results. I do not know the blood workup results. That first has to go to some physicians and scientists associated with the actual original criteria. And then they'll share it with me, and then I'll share it with you, and we'll send it out for peer review publication. And if it's really positive, then we'll make some news with it. So we're going to hear from a few of them today and all of them on Thursday. That'll be a very inspiring show, so I hope you listen to that. Also, if time permits, I want you to hear from Malcolm X. Quote, beware of liberals. Why, that's more relevant than ever now. He said this way back when, and he was right. Couldn't be any more salient than that. When you want to go to a video that we're playing and you would otherwise just hear the audio section, you can watch it. It's simple. If you want to watch, you can go to youtube.com/PRNFM. youtube.com/PRNFM. We always begin with the latest on health and healing. And for this one from Temple University, according to them, boosting brain function is key to staving off the effects of aging. And if there was one thing every person should consider doing right now to keep your brain young, it is to add extra virgin olive oil to your diet. That's according to science at the scientists at the Lewis Katz School of Medicine at Temple University. And extra virgin olive oil, it is a superfood. It's rich in cell-protecting antioxidants and known for its multiple health benefits, including helping put the brakes on diseases like aging and most notably cardiovascular disease. And previous research on mice showed that extra virgin olive oil preserves memory and protects the brain against Alzheimer's disease. So that's simple. One thing, mind you, that's one piece of information that is powerful, but there are a thousand other pieces that go with it. I commend them on doing this research. That is a good thing, but we got a lot more that we can do. Just as an aside, for 50 years, I have been doing animal rescue and having animal sanctuaries, first upstate at the Healing at the Fertiler Farm. Over 15,000 people in my radio audience visited the Fertiler Farm on the weekends, generally during the summer and early fall, and we had classes free. And on Sundays, we actually had Sundays where there'd be 300 or 400 people. They'd park their cars clear around the lake, and then we'd have workshops on how to nurture the soil, the power of earthworms, and why they were so important, how to take animal manure and turn it into a really rich fertilizer, but how to fertilize with the right blend. And if you get this too acidic, it'll burn out the seeds. And how to bake bread. We had a French brick oven, and there was a woman who now calls herself White Feather, who stayed up there for a couple years, and she lived in a teepee by the lake. Her male partner was a full-blooded American, Native American Indian from upstate New York, and taught her many of the ways, and she wanted to learn those ways. So here we are, and she's living by that notion of how would you live if you were on an Indian reservation 200 years ago, or not a reservation, if you were in a Native American environment 200 years ago. But each week, there would be pressing of juices, making cider from pear cider, and apples, and then doing root vegetables. And I would build boxes. These were 3 foot by 3 foot, and they would be built 3 feet into the ground, rich soil on the bottom, and the top was like a window. And inside the window was a light bulb, and the light bulb was 125 watts. And you could have 2 foot of snow on the ground, and you go out and open up that little window, and in that grow box would be green leafy vegetables, and they were kept nourished and warm 12 months a year. And then I did an experiment, and I don't know if it was the first experiment. It was the first that I had ever heard of, because we had the first organic teaching farm in New York's history. There was only two that I'm aware of. One was in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, which was huge, and Robert Rodell, really nice man who owned Prevention Magazine, ran it, and I would go down and he would show me around all the good things we were doing with amaranth. He was the world's leading authority on amaranth, the grain. And I was doing multiple growing in harsh environment. It was called Stone Ridge because there was no soil. It was just all rock. So I would scoop out the lake and let it drain for about 3 months, and then all that muck that had been there for hundreds of years, I would use that and had like 12 inches of topsoil. So everything grew. But in the wintertime, I wanted to see, could you grow 12 months a year? And why do we have to pick a crop? And what motivated me to think about that was I just saw the movie East of Eden with Raymond Massey is the father, who was the farmer, and James Dean, who was his son, and how he harvested everything, put it on a train, put ice on the train, but then there was a blockage of the train. So when the ice melted, all the lettuce was ruined. And I'm thinking, because this is how my mind works, this is what happens when you're an inventor. And when you invent solutions for things. You see a problem, okay, be honest about it. Now, what's the solution? I thought, who says you have to harvest everything at once? Who says? Where is it written? So I started to see how long will fruit stay on a tree. And I found that fruit will stay on a tree like grapefruit and pomelos and oranges and limes 12 months a year. And the only time you actually get them is when they fall. And otherwise, 12 months a year. So just as the last ones are falling in September, a whole new crop are there simultaneously. It's just that how we market food is we do a whole crop at once and ship it off. That didn't make any sense to me. So first I showed that you could have fruit 12 months a year. And then with this little light bulb, I was able to grow the same lettuce for over 10 months. 10 months, red tip lettuce. And how I would do it is I would just say, where's the energy going? It's going in the outer leaves. So every week I would cut a few of the outer leaves. And then new leaves would take its place. And it just kept germinating. And I would spray, once every 3 weeks, I would spray a watered fertilizer on it. If people ask, you know, how do these palm trees get so healthy? I have specimen trees, trees that you won't see anywhere else in the United States. In fact, all the time people are coming by the animal sanctuary in Florida saying, can I take a, you know, tour? I say, sure. So I show them around. I show them all the variety. Of thousands of trees and plants, and I planted them all. And I show them, well, how do you get a tree that has a 4 foot around width? And well, you have to fertilize it every month. Well, I thought you just use a little milorganite in a coffee can. No, if you do that, your tree will never have the nourishment to build a strong immune system. So I showed them, you take a backhoe, little backyard backhoe. You dig a hole 6 feet deep and 6 feet around. That's a huge hole. And then you fill it up to 5 feet of rich topsoil. Then you take your bobcat and you put your tree in. You put rubber bands, big, thick, when I'm saying rubber band, I don't mean a rubber band like you put around a package. I'm talking about a huge belt that goes around the tree. And then there is there's 4x4s. And you stake those against the tree on all sides with a rubber padding so the tree isn't hurt. Now, as every month you add an additional fertilizer, so what happens is when there's a freeze, all the other trees in the neighborhood are going to die. Now, I've seen this. But because you put so much nourishment in that tree, it's got 2 to 3 years with the food to eat, and all of the energy goes down into the root system. So when the guys come by and say, oh, your trees are all dead. No, they're not dead. They're hibernating. What do you mean hibernating? They're dead. They're not coming back. They're coming back. And they laugh at you and go on up the street to get someone to say, yeah, take it out. And they'll charge anywhere from $400 to $1,000, $1,500. In fact, after the hurricane, the day after the hurricane, there were two types of trucks that showed up on every house on this block, which is a three-mile-long block. 90% of the trucks were there to steal anything they could from the people, knowing most people had left in the largest evacuation in Florida's history. But the other people were there to charge you to cut up and haul away. They had these big chipping machines, your debris, and they were charging lots of money. So a guy took a look at this rosewood tree. Now, rosewood is like locust, it's like cherry, it's like oak. It's a very hard wood. The hardest wood in the world that I've ever found, in fact, I have a table made out of it, is ironwood. It literally is. It's indestructible. In any case, see, if you want something that will never rot, never break, never go bad, it's ironwood. In any case, and one of my hobbies is woodworking. So when I show people the redwood, the cherry dining table, I made that in 40 years ago and just as it just looks like new today. So anyhow, this rosewood He said, well, I'll give you back a piece. I'll give you a 12-foot section, and I'll charge you $2,000 to cut it up and take it away. And I said, but it's not dead. He said, buddy, he said, the whole root ball is out of the ground, and that tree weighs at least 10 to 15,000 pounds. You're not going to be able, there's no, you'd have to have a crane, and there's no way to get a crane in here. I said, no, it's not dead. It'll live. He said, that's not possible. So he was arguing with me, and I just said, look, I'm not cutting any of the trees up. And as a result, it took, I cut the top of the tree back, but I left the first 20 feet. It was still monster heavy. I had to have a huge bobcat to pull it up, and then a tractor on the back end with bracing, putting plywood to push it back up. And it was 6 months it took me to do that. So for 6 months, the only reason all these trees stayed alive is energy work and fertilizing the roots, keeping them wet, putting moisture on the roots every day. So just remember that if this ever happens in your case. Well, now that rosewood tree is an all new tree. All the branches are growing. It's gained about another 20 feet. You would never recognize that was a tree that was on the ground. I took photographs of all these, and I'm going to post them before and after. 2 years ago was the storm, a little over 2 years ago, and today all those things are thriving. So the idea is the energy of a plant goes into its roots. The energy of a human being goes into its primary chi level. So as long as you're protecting your chi, you're protecting your vital life force. And that's why you don't want to be expending energy emotionally or physically when you're trying to heal. You want the body's energy, if you have a reservoir from which it can draw, and that's no different than a tree at this result. So if you're eating a good plant-based diet, if you're taking your supplements, if you're being mindful and doing meditation, then you're conserving your primary chi, and then as that primary life energy begins to heal, then you have energy, just like the 6 foot by 6 foot of topsoil I put under every tree. And that way, when a storm comes and the outer branches are frozen and they die, but the rest of the tree is still alive. It just brings all this energy down into its root system. Now, you would think people would know that. You would think there's textbooks. Nothing. Nothing. I couldn't find anything on that. So that's why I do these workshops to teach people what we haven't known. And, you know, and then it applies to other things in life as well. So in any case, so when it comes to the aging process, if just one item can make a difference, and it can, extra virgin olive oil, imagine what happens when you use coconut oil and the other essential fatty acids like flaxseed oil and hemp oil. Imagine what happens when you start going from a meat to a plant-based diet. Imagine when going from sedentary to exercise. Imagine going from negative people around you to positive people around you, the epigenetic energy. So every one of these factors are crucial to you living a longer and healthier life. Next up, everyone, when I told them we were going to be fasting 15 hours a day for 60 days and fasting all day on Saturday and Sunday, two people left. They said, no, I can't do this. I said, well, you can do it. You may not want to. Well, why? Why would I want to do this? Because fasting regularly will allow you to live a longer life. You're overeating. No. Well, yes. This just came out today from the University of Illinois, and it's a substantial study. And here's what it says. Listen carefully to the title, their title, not mine. Regular fasting could lead to longer, healthier life. Quote, regular fasting is associated with lower rates of heart failure and a longer lifespan, according to two new studies. Researchers sought to shed new light on the centuries-old debate about how fasting affects health. Recent studies have shown it contributed to reductions in blood pressure, the bad LDL cholesterol, and insulin resistance, a condition that can raise blood sugar. A 2017 study showed alternate day fasting was as effective as daily caloric restriction for losing weight and keeping the pounds off. The new studies focused upon the data for patients evaluated for heart disease in Utah and other Rocky Mountain states. There were hundreds of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons, who typically fast one Sunday each month for up to 24 hours. And then it goes through the studies and showed that it really makes a difference. Now, mind you, I believe that's too conservative. I believe it should be done more frequently, and that's why I believe that you should eat your last meal no later than 6 at night, unless there's a special occasion, which is fine. And then you drink liquids, protein shakes, smoothies, and juices on Saturday and Sunday. And that's when you do your least amount of workout, allow the body to recover, and it's a terrific way. And then they also found that, quote, a number of hot diet trends encourage people to restrict their eating to a window of 8 to 12 hours and fasting the remaining 12 to 16 hours. So for those who are in this audience, we're always going to help you get ahead of the curve. From discovery to final acceptance could be as much as 30 years. And you don't have 30 years. So we need to get ahead and become more disciplined in what we're willing to change. Also, University of Southern California came up with a study about gratitude. And they found that practicing gratitude can have profound health benefits. Now, this Thanksgiving, set aside the origins of Thanksgiving, because it was extremely unfair to the natives, and even with the best of intents of those who came because they were being persecuted in other countries, it was the power that caused massive redistribution of the natural resources and away from the indigenous culture. So let's go past that. Just like Columbus Day should not be called Columbus Day, it should be called Native or Indigenous Day, something that can contribute to. Remember, it wasn't in America that Columbus set sail for nor landed, but in the protecting the historical accuracy of what really happened is important. So let's just say we just want to be thankful for something, all right? The ability to be thankful for your family, thankful for your friends, thankful for your health, thankful for the simple existences that we all live. We make them unduly complicated, but just having gratitude for life, gratitude for, having a ability to do our exercise, reducing the symptoms of physical pain, reducing inflammation, lowering our blood pressure. We should have gratitude for this. And that's important because when we start appreciating that nothing is a given and we shouldn't take anything for granted and everything has an expiration date and everything from a relationship to our dogs, our cats, not so with the older birds, they can live 100 years, then every day that you get up and that dog or cat's tail's wagging or they want to come over and purr with you or they want to be in your lap and hug, that's where we should be showing gratitude, that in that moment, for that period of time, we have this blessed, sentient creature that is loving us. Being able to walk with someone and talk with someone and know that your confidences are treasured and that you can just be yourself. That is gratitude when you have that person in your life. So just think about gratitude. What do we have to be grateful for at this point? And it depends upon how well you've coped, how you've dealt with relationships, how you've dealt with stress. You'll either walk around being hyper-triggered with anger and completely sweeping away all positive feelings, or you'll walk around realizing that no matter what crisis you've been in, you have an ability at both the spiritual, the philosophical levels to appreciate that you're a better human being because of the crisis that you've gone through. From Washington State University comes a study published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Pain where cannabis reduces headache and migraine pain by nearly 50%. That's a big deal. And from the University of Michigan, published also in Journals of Frontiers in Psychology, comes a study that de-stress with a dose of nature each week Now, we know that stress is a normal part of everyday life. But if it's starting to affect your health, it's time to step back and take a break. Living in the big city with all of its advantages and culture and opportunities is also very stressful. A drastic change in scenery is just what most people need to get their mind and body feeling rejuvenated to deal with stress once again. We need these breaks. And experiencing, according to this study, 20 to 30 minutes each week can help us unwind and de-stress. So, savor the scenery, wander. There's no doubt that walking is good for you, but not all walks are the same. Walking down the street does not give the same mental boost as wandering in the wilderness. Listen to nature sounds. Meditating on the music that nature offers is different from the kind of playing in your headphones. Nature sounds are calming. Go out and hear the chirping of the birds or the whistling of the wind through the trees. Try camping. Go for a picnic. Yeah, simple things. That's the latest on health and healing. Oh, and by the way, from Harvard University School of Public Health, published in the peer-reviewed journal Circulation, listen carefully. It takes just one sugary drink a day to increase your risk of heart disease-related death by 33%. Wow. One sugary drink a day. That's all it takes. And they examined 80,647 women and 37,716 men to come up with that. And they followed them for a total of 34 years. So, one of the best studies in the world. So, stay away from the sugary drinks. I'm Gary Knoll. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from a few people, just a few today, because they're in the middle of their long walk. And then, on Thanksgiving, you're going to hear from everybody. The whole hour is devoted to people telling you, I haven't spoken with anybody on this, so you're going to hear directly from them what's changed in the last 60 days of this historic anti-aging clinical study. Back in a moment. Nice to have you with us, everyone. And by the way, we're doing all we can to help our sister station, where I've been for 45 years, WBAI in New York. But there was an effort at a coup. My belief is that they knew they would fail in the initial effort, and that was the feint. That everyone was thought, oh, we stopped and cheer, we won. No. No, we didn't win. We lost. Because off the air for nearly 5 weeks, the vast majority of our audience is gone. And we're still with all the bills to be paid. We're still a couple $1 million in debt when you add in all that we owed to on the Empire State Building, though that was paid with a loan. We're still responsible for a lot of that. We can't pay the payroll, can't pay rent, and just now getting out all the premiums. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. We're doing everything possible. But it's just like global warming. The more that we realize that we must start to change, nothing changes. Some individuals change, but nothing else. We just had the highest increase in carbon dioxide recorded in human history just this week. So the fact that we know what we should do doesn't mean that there's unity and that we're all in the same boat. We're all going to work towards making it happen. I believe, and I really hope I'm wrong, that the station is about 3.5 to 5 months maximum before the national board, not a rogue element, says we must sell BAI or transfer the license or turn it over to other management that would completely change it in order to save the foundation, because the entire foundation, all the other four stations, are in equal or worse shape than BAI. And this is not the time to go into all the reasons why. I've spoken about it. So we're doing all we can. I've even offered some backup studios if they need them that we have in Manhattan. And if you hear me pledging a lot, I'm sorry. I don't want to be pledging a lot. There was a history of me only pledging once in a show in a day, and that was it. But today, my programs are the ones that are bringing the station what little money it's making, so please be understanding of that. And I wish that there were 15 other people who could raise the same amount of money so we could have fundraising spread out over a day. I don't want to hear myself all the time on the air either, trust me. But until we get through this crisis, they're just going to pitch whatever they can that can cause some money to come in to pay the bills. But take down this number, because we never know when that, once again, day will come where there's no more BAI. And I'm fearful, and I've told the management of the station, have a plan B. I've given my suggestions for plan B, to have a continuity when, not if, but when the lights go out on BAI. And I think you have to be very realistic. So here is the number you can call and listen live. Write it down now. 774-337-6068. Again, 774-337-6068. 774-337-6068. And if you just want to listen to a program on the archives, our archive number, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. And I want to welcome Lee Camp to the Progressive Radio Network, along with Jimmy Dore and all the other people, 88 hosts and the top progressive minds. And we also have a progressive news up every day, and it's changed throughout the entire day. It's free, and it's not liberal, it's not conservative, it's not left or right. We don't engage in politics. It's empowerment. So that, just want to share that with you. Now, let's say hello to Melanie, who's down with a group of people on the road, and she just ran up with one or two people. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Gary. Good afternoon.
Okay, we have a few minutes. Please tell me who you've got beside you there, since I'm in the studio and can't see anything, and so they can briefly tell us what changes have occurred in this study, which ends tomorrow.
Sure, fabulous. We have John C., John D., and Ron here with me, and I will pass over the phone to each of them to give a few thoughts and words.
Okay. Hi, Gary. It's John C.
Hi, John.
What has changed primarily for me is the way that I think. Going instead of to reaction, going to reason. I'm not saying that I'm 100% cured, but I now have tools to do that by watching a lot of your DVDs and other DVDs. Rather than jumping to the feeling, stepping back and having reason instead of reaction. It's a huge, huge part of me changing my DNA. I just came off the road, did 13 and a half miles, felt great. Normally at home, I do about from 4 to 6 miles. So this is, doubling what I think I can do physically.
Are you going back on the road?
I can.
Well,
I can go back.
That's not the answer you should say. You said, of course, Gary, I'm going to go back on the road. What do you think? I'm a wimp? Yeah, I'm going back out there. Jesus.
No,
it's not too late for us to throw you out of the study. Didn't you learn anything from those lectures? We only grow through accepting pain, accepting crisis, accepting trauma, and then realizing we're stronger than all that. We have to push out of our comfort zone to grow, intellectually, spiritually, morally, on every level.
You're right.
Now, what have you done in the gym since we had the measurements yesterday, the before and after measurements from when you got there to what you ended yesterday with?
Oh, I far exceeded my limitations with everything, especially I've doubled my weight. doubled what I could do push-ups, doubled what I can do sit-ups, put a lot more pounds doing squats. So I far exceeded what I did the first time around and felt great. Great.
And how are you feeling about your emotions?
What I feel about my emotions is very positive. When I think of something, I don't think of the negative. I go to the solution. How can I figure this out? How can I make this work for me instead of dreading, oh my gosh, I'll never be able to figure out this problem. I'm going to be stuck. So I'm feeling very positive about everything in my life right now. I feel so much better about going back and restarting my life within in an empty space. I'm going to create instead of waiting for someone to tell me what to do. I will become an action instead of reaction.
Good for you. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gary.
Put the phone over to the next person, please.
Hi, John.
Yes, Gary, it's John D. And,
hi, John.
This experience has been great for me. It has changed me physically. First of all, I'm much, much stronger. I have a better physique, lost a lot of weight, approximately 15 pounds, and lost 3 inches in my waist. And I'm very proud about that. And I started off like when I came here walking 2 miles, so I could easily walk 10 miles now without stopping, without resting. But even more important than that, what really impressed me is the food here. And, of course, it's all vegan. I'm Italian-American. I'm used to Italian food, and I love Italian food. And I thought I would have to give that up, but no way. Well, I have to give that up because here we had, in fact, I made eggplant rollatini, but we used cashew nut ricotta, and it was delicious. And one of the participants made pizza, but they used all vegan ingredients. It was delicious. So I leave here with enthusiasm. I know I'm going to be a vegan, and I know I'm going to like the food.
Good for you. We have one more person I can speak with real quick. That is Ron.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Ron. Did you just get off the road?
I just got off the road, and I'll be going back to the road, so I'm going to keep this short. And so far, I have done 8 miles. And I plan to do 13 and a half miles. But in the anti-aging study, you know, it's been a tremendous and ever unfolding and revealing experience for me. You know, I've grown and continue to grow physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Some of the areas of my improvement is that I found that by going on power walks helps me get over my anxiety. What has changed for me is managing my day with meditation, introspection, power walking, going to the gym, doing my program assessment exercises, but also my strength-building exercises, which is part of my plan to gain weight. I'm a little bit different than most people. I'm here to gain weight. And I know that through strength-building exercises that I can, and the food that we're having here, even on a vegan diet, I've already gained 4 pounds and expect to gain another 2 before I leave. Some of the other things that I've been doing is meal planning and preparation, kitchen and food selection, and I actually made the lunch for everyone on yesterday, which was a vegetarian chili, and everyone actually told me they liked it, which makes me feel really good.
You just see the people going in the other room and throwing up. They lied to you.
Well, actually, I saw them going back for seconds, and in some cases, thirds, and some people wanted the recipe, so I was able to share that with them.
That's only because they're bulimic. Look, they could. So, Ron, thank you for being there. For all three of you, good to hear from you. Go back out on the road and do what you can do. remember, our long walk is you walk until you're tired, not till you're exhausted. And I'm glad to see what has been happening. On Thursday, everyone will have a chance to tell what their stories. And keep in mind to the audience, you're hearing people in their late 60s and 70s. We've got people 80, 95, 95, 90. And these people, there is no question to me that they're going to show a difference in their DNA. But the blood work will tell. Everything else is good. Thank you all. So we're going to hear a whole hour on Thursday from him. And by the way, tonight on the Progressive Commentary at 7 o'clock, we have a very interesting discussion. We're going to take a look at the black history that we don't hear about, that we need to know. We're going to have a whole discussion tonight on something the average American is clueless about, and that is The Dawn of Day. It's a historical documentary about the Underground Railroad in Kansas that brings to light the Wauhabinsee County unsung heroes who traversed one of the most turbulent times in the nation's history. It was faith, family, and politics uniting a community of neighbors who lived and died to ensure Kansas was a free state. And Richard Pitts, director of the Wonder Workshop in Manhattan, narrates the film and interviews educators, historians, and descendants of abolitionists who shared heritage lives. And then every week I'm going to have on a different one, like the history and life of George Washington Carver and some of the great philosophers and historians within the African-American community. Then after that, I'm going to do the same thing for the Latino community. Then I'm going to do it for the Native American community. So for the next year, you're going to be hearing a whole lot of history. Now, time remaining, I want to share with you a in-depth understanding of Wikipedia. Now, for those who have benefited from Wikipedia, good for you. There are certainly things that the 100,000-plus editors who have worked with it over the year have brought to the encyclopedia. But then there's a section of the Wikipedia that is on complementary and alternative medicine. And historically, that's been extremely biased. And by their own rules, you're not allowed to have a bias if you're editing something. So we have been sending members of the Wikipedia board and its co-founder, Jimmy Wells, and all of its lawyers. We send the whole law team copies of our letters and articles showing here's actual proof. Here's the editors in their own words on their own chat sites. So you can't say that, oh, objective people edit these pages. We show just the opposite in their own words, how they hate me, they hate other people. And so if you're honest and ethical about your standards, then all those sites should be taken off. But you've not taken one off. You've not even allowed a word to be changed. So that means in my mind, my belief is you're complicit. Because knowing a fact, and we even sent you a 58-page document from the Attorney General of California, I suggest you read it, because our lawyers highlighted how once you're brought, if you're a fiduciary, and the board of directors is, and the officers are, and the lawyers are, when you're brought facts that challenge the legitimacy and objectivity of something, you have a legal responsibility to address them. We have not seen anyone address anything. And that's why we continue to educate the public about what they're not aware of. This is entitled Wikipedia's Astroturfing to Discredit Energy Medicine and Psychology. We have to go back to 2014. There was a heated exchange that took place between Wikipedia's co-founder Jimmy Wells and the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology's president, Dr. Debbie Vajda, that's V-A-J-D-A. Now, the Internet War of Words was the first instance revealing Wells' prejudice and disdain for complementary and alternative medicine, and a clear indication that he firmly embraces modern skepticism's dogma and the culture to destroy complementary and alternative therapies. Now, due to the misleading and inaccurate information on Wikipedia's page for energy psychology, Dr. Vajda posted a petition on change.org to put out a call for people to boycott giving donations to the encyclopedia, stop supporting Wikipedia. Here's what the petition said, quote, Wikipedia is widely used and trusted. Unfortunately, much of the information related to holistic approaches to healing is biased, misleading, out of date, or just plain wrong. For 5 years, repeated efforts to correct this misinformation have been blocked, and the Wikipedia organization has not addressed these issues. As a result, people who are interested in the benefits of energy medicine and energy psychology and specific approaches such as emotional freedom techniques, thought field therapy, and tapas acupuncture techniques turn to your pages, trust what they read, and do not pursue getting help from these approaches, end quote. Dr. Vajda is simply restating a common complaint every professional association of a complementary and alternative discipline have voiced against Wikipedia. That is, we believe Wikipedia makes intentional efforts to dissuade the public from returning to complementary and alternative treatments to remedy their illnesses and disease. The only alternative Wikipedia offers patients, therefore, is conventional pharmaceutical-based medicine. In effect, Jimmy Wales and his Wikimedia Foundation are intentionally or unintentionally astroturfing on behalf of pharmaceutical economic interest. And the foundation is by no means free from being financially entangled with drug makers. Over the years, we have been able to show that the Wikimedia Foundation or its different individuals as editors, etc., have received donations from Amgen, Aztec, Pharmacy, Biogen, Bristol-Myers, Merck, Pfizer, and United Health. Now, it has also received several $1 million from Alphabet. That's the parent company of Google, which is now a formal private pharmaceutical company partnering with Glaxo, Merck, and Novartis. Shouldn't, at the very least, that raise questions in the media's mind about how objective can Wikipedia be if it's receiving money from individuals who have a vested interest in promoting a particular and specific type of therapy, such as a pharmaceutical approach? And this is not revealed openly in any of the edits that we found. Now, Dr. Vajda also singles out the skeptics who have co-opted Wikipedia's pages and with intentional malice, we believe, skewed and reject the scientific data showing the efficacy and safety of these alternative medical modalities. Quote, Wikipedia pages for energy, psychology, energy medicine, acupuncture, and other forms of complementary alternative medicine are currently skewed to a negative, unscientific view of these approaches despite numerous rigorous studies in recent years demonstrating their effectiveness. These pages are controlled by a few self-appointed skeptics who serve as de facto censors for Wikipedia. They clothe their objections in the language of the narrowest possible understanding of science in order to inhibit open discussion of innovation in healthcare. As gatekeepers for the status quo, they refuse discourse with leading-edge research scientists and clinicians, or for that matter, anyone with a different point of view. Fair-minded referees should be given the responsibility of monitoring these important areas, end quote. Now, Jimmy Wales angrily responded. This is how what he said, quote, what we won't do is pretend that the work of lunatic charlatans is the equivalent of true scientific discourse. It isn't, end quote. In response, Dr. Vajda provided 51 peer-review articles and studies, 18 of which were randomized controlled studies appearing in professional journals, including the American Psychological Association, the Journal of Clinical Psychology, the Journal of Nervous and Mental Diseases, Psychotherapy, Theory, Research, and Practice, and others showing positive statistical results outside the range of chance. In fact, the volume of published scientific literature she could have provided is vastly larger. Endorsements by major conventional medical associations such as the American Psychological Association, the Association of Social Work Boards, the National Board of Certified Counselors, and the National Association of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Counselors were also cited to confirm that energy psychology's acceptance and efficacy in mainstream medicine. Nevertheless, every attempt made to correct the scientific litany of skeptics of misinformation and questionable citations were rejected. Jimmy Wells' discriminatory labeling of complementary and alternative practitioners as, quote, lunatic charlatans has been taken up by Wikipedia skeptic editors as a mantra to validate their hidden agendas. Frequently on editorial talk pages, skeptics quote Wells' words to convince their critics that he supports their cause. The term also gives skeptics license to defame complementary and alternative supporters as quacks and as a separate Wikipedia page for lunatic charlatans. That was created on the encyclopedia. The page states no uncertain terms. Wikipedia policy to discredit complementary and alternative medicine continued to identify it as pseudoscience. Quote, this unapologetic endorsement of the neutral point of view policy on pseudoscience and the policy on fringe science is the clearest indication yet that Wikipedia's robust response to cranks, quacks, and charlatans is solidly in line with Wikipedia's fundamental goals, end quote. There you have it. But how many average people going to Wikipedia will read that and say, my God, they're saying that everyone and everything and every positive thing that's ever happened in complementary alternative medicine is quackery? It's not. In fact, during a TED Talk lecture, former CBS program host Cheryl Atkinson described Wikipedia as AstroTurf's dream come true. It's no secret that pharmaceutical companies will hire public relations firms to recruit writers and publicists to infiltrate Wikipedia pages and edit positive messages about their drugs and products. They also join talk groups to influence editorial discussions in favor of removing criticisms, regardless of how much scientific literature to the contrary. By definition, astroturfing is the practice of concealing the financial sources behind public messages in order to give the impression that reporting originates from unbiased and objective grassroots sources when it does not. However, astroturfing does not necessarily require manipulating of messaging for economic advantages of fundamental motivation. It can also be ideological. For example, the psychological astroturfing waged by skeptics such as Susan Gerbic and Tim Farley's Guerrilla Skeptics on Wikipedia to promulgate what we interpret as blatant misinformation and even defamatory content to portray its opponents negatively. Wikipedia's energy psychology page is a clear example of that. Skeptics rely heavily upon the data provided by the AstroTurf organization QuackWatch. And since 1980, QuackWatch's founder Stephen Barrett has served on the Scientific Advisory Board of the American Council on Science and Health, a corporate front group that has been heavily criticized by the FDA and Public Citizen for providing false propaganda on products known to endanger human health and the environment, including tobacco, pesticides, PBAs, genetically modified crops, junk food, and high corn syrup soft drinks. So QuackWatch and the science-based medicine blog technically function as forms for ideological astroturfing. And unfortunately, everything that Wikipedia has to say about energy medicine is extremely biased. However, the actual peer review challenge, this assumption, is Dr. Richard Umberdockstock, the president of the American Hospital Association. Here's what he says, quote, complementary and alternative medicine has shown great promise in supporting and stimulating healing. It's one of the many tools hospitals look to as they continue to create optimal healing environments for the patients they serve, end quote. And according to the Center for Reiki Research, one of the major treatment modalities under energy medicine, the center collaborates with 65 major American hospitals, including prestigious ones like Duke University, Columbia University, Yale University, and Children's Hospital in Boston. That's the cream of the cream. The article further argues that the fundamental underlying principle of energy medicine and psychology, the biofield, is bogus. But it's not. Quote, physicists and skeptics criticize these explanations as pseudoscience. The page's editor states, a branch of pseudoscience which explains magical thinking by using irrelevant jargon from modern physics to exploit scientific illiteracy and to impress the unsophisticated, end quote. But that's run by the skeptics. To support its position, Wikipedia page quotes QuackWatch and science-based medicine blog as if it were authoritative. So they attack everything involving science medicine, energy medicine. But however, when we look at the scientific literature, we found articles, so many that I don't have time to put them here, but I'll give you a few examples. Manual Healing Methods, Alternative Medicine, a report to the National Institutes of Health on Alternative Medicine Systems and Practices, National Institute of Health publication, U.S. Government Printing Office, page 113 to 157, positive. Bioelectric, Magnetic, and Subtle Energy Medicine, Annals of the New York Academy of Sciences, page 1177, positive. The Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, Therapeutic Touch Stimulates the Proliferation of Human Cells and Culture, positive. Non-Touch Biofield Therapy, a systematic review of human randomized controlled trials reporting use of only non-physical contact treatment, British Medical Journal, positive. The Effects of Therapeutic Touch on Brain Activism of Preterm Infants in Response to Sensory Punctuate Stimulus, and Archives of Diseases in Childhood, Fetal, and Neonatal Edition, positive. And Healing Touch with Guided Imagery for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and Returning Active Military, a Randomized Controlled Trial, published in Military Medicine, positive. And these are just a sample of them. And so it's there, you know. And so in conclusion, each of these characteristics of astroturfing are prevalent among the skeptic editors on Wikipedia and are most pronounced on the encyclopedia's talk pages. And skeptics conduct themselves in a fashion in direct violation of Wikipedia's own rules for maintaining a neutral point of view, which, quote, requires a fair representation of all significant viewpoints regarding a subject, end quote. Well, both corporate and ideological astroturfing also prevail across Facebook and Google. The Wikimedia Foundation and Wells have been fully aware the culture of astroturfing affects much of the encyclopedia's content. And given the very nature of Wikipedia's chaotic strategy to create an authentic encyclopedia by allowing anonymous writers and editors to create its content, astroturfing is inevitable. In conclusion, we ask the members, the scientific and medical communities, and particularly the media, please do your due diligence, do your homework before you rush to judgment to censor complementary and alternative therapies. We have done our homework, and we have identified thousands upon thousands of peer-reviewed studies supporting the very therapies Wikipedia condemns, mocks, and ridicules as pseudoscience or of no value. If Wikipedia skeptics were criticizing only one of several modalities and only an individual who may not be practicing correctly, that's understandable. Rather, they condemn all of complementary and alternative medicine in its entirety, despite its longstanding scientific confirmation in the history of success. Skeptics also deny the virtue of the most important and relevant part of the healing process, the relationship between the physician and the patient in the clinical experience. Daily, every medical doctor, from surgeons to psychiatrists and oncologists to pediatricians, from cardiologists to pediatric specialists, ask their patients, how do you feel? How's it going? In order to gain additional insights for continuing or to redirect their treatment. Therefore, we must consider the likelihood that the large majority of board-certified physicians and clinicians who have adopted complementary and alternative therapies began by relying solely upon the orthodox medical protocols they were educated in. So at some point during their careers, they discovered their protocols' limitations and perhaps life-threatening risks. As a result, then and only then did they search outside of the conventional paradigm for alternative and safer solutions to treat their patients. Today, there is a growing explosion of doctors and patients using complementary alternative medicine. Why? Because it works. What then does this say about the closed-mindedness and rigid ideological beliefs of Wikipedia skeptics, who have neither the clinical experience as clinicians nor as medical researchers in this field? Nevertheless, the height of skeptic hubris would deny the positive results millions of patients have received from complementary and alternative practitioners. We regard this, the culture of cognitive dissidence, as a fundamental characteristic of modern-day skepticism. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind.